Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in J-culture and video games, let me introduce to you the number one gaijin, the man from Japan who can!
Doofus.net podcast for Monday, February 9th. I'm Alex.
I'm Darren. Hello.
Hello, thank you. How you doing, Darren?
I'm good. I've been thinking this week.
Yeah.
Nintendo have had a franchise that have stead them in, you know, a good amount of money with the Nintendogs. You know, Nintendogs?
Yeah. I've got my two dogs currently living in a pet hotel for 2 years.
You can hear them now.
Can't be bothered to live after them. I've got a real dog.
They'll be all old and sad now. Well, I was thinking that in the start of Nintendo, I'd like to be a marketing advisor for them, that they haven't really exploited this in the way that they have with their carts.
That's true.
And,
that's true.
You know, their worlds and their galaxies. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking they should sort of extend the Nintendog franchise into other Nintendo-style franchises. So I've got a few suggestions.
Okay.
Nintendonkeys.
Nintendonkey is good. Okay, yeah.
You have to look after. There's a donkey sanctuary, and you can pet them with the stylus, and you can feed them carrots with the stylus. What do you think?
Okay, yeah. Just carrots, or can you like give them unhealthier foods?
Yeah, you can give them anything. Yeah, okay. You could just feed them rat poison, or
You have to take them for walks, because that would be a bigger task than a Nintendo.
Well, I imagine you'd be maybe on a beach actually, trying to get people to have donkey rides and stuff like that. So you might want to sort of shake your bucket. You could do that with a stylus.
Shake your bucket.
Also, shake your bucket, yeah. That's the R&B part of the game. And also, I've got Nintendodos. What do you think of that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, yeah, you are the...
starter, actually, but yeah, carry on.
Well, literally, yeah, you are, you know, it's set about sort of 50 years ago, and you're the mighty, almighty god, and you have to just destroy them in any way you can, so you can just make cliffs crumble.
Right.
And, you could just run them over.
Well, that's... Now you're talking.
You think?
Yeah.
It could be a duck hunt section. Ooh, you could just shoot them.
Dodo hunt. They're sitting ducks, really. I mean, they don't even fly.
Yeah. Sitting ducks. No, they're not. That's the point.
They're walking dodos, but, you know.
Not for long. That could be the tagline. Not for long. Nintendodos. Not for long. I've got other ones.
Yeah.
They're quite odd. As Nintendon Johnson?
Now it's Nintendon Johnson sounds pretty good. What about Nintendon McLean?
Nintendon McLean, yes. Yeah. The American Pie singer.
Yeah.
You could drive your Chevy to the levee with the stylus.
It would be dry, though.
Inevitably, when you got there, you'd find it was dry.
That'd be disappointing.
It's like the Titanic, though. You'd be expecting that. You'd be pleased to know it's right.
Yeah, that's true. You do have a kind of preordained...
Nintendon Johnson would be like Grand Theft Auto, but, you know, Miami Vice, so it'd just be Vice City.
Who's the guy that promoted Mike Tyson?
Nintendon King.
Yeah!
Yes, that's an amazing game! So it's like boxing.
It could have a link-up with the new Punch-Out game.
Yeah, that's incredible. Nintendon King.
Yeah.
And you have to tend to your hair in a mini game. You have to make it extremely high.
And you could use the DS microphone.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the key is the press conference and the weigh-in.
Yeah.
So you'd have to sort of put all of your jewellery on with the mini game stylus thing.
Yes.
And then you'd be at the weigh-in, and you'd have to say as many cliched encouraging statements as possible in a short amount of time. So he's gonna smack this guy into next year. You could say that, and then you get points and combinations.
Babies, dogs, black eyes.
Yeah, and you could do the mama jokes against the other player.
No, your mama.
Your mama's so fat she's depressed.
Your mama's so fat I had to roll over twice just to get off.
Exactly. It could be all Eddie Murphy on it, Alex. And
is that what that sounded like to people? I hope not.
Yeah. A little bit. I like Nintendon King.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So that's my thoughts. If you think of any more.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, definitely let us know, because put that on the comments. We had one entry for last time, but Nintendo.
Yeah, more Nintendo. Well, not right now. Mm. On with the Nintendo fuss.
Nintendo fuss.
What have you been playing? 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 What have you been playing?
What have you been playing? What have you been playing? Yes. Darren, what have you been playing?
What have you been playing, Alex?
Oh, me. I have been pretty boring, actually, since last we met. Although, in the post, I received Metal Gear Solid, Moonstone Pacific Rift, Valkyria Chronicles, Far Cry 2, and Drake's Fortune, all for the PS3.
Okay.
I played about an hour of Metal Gear Solid, so about 10
minutes.
Did you
actually play any of it, or did you just watch?
I played for 10 minutes.
10 minutes. That game seems to me like being woken up in a cinema and then quickly handed the ball and cup and being asked to play and then having it snapped off you again.
It just reminds me of the time
I fell asleep. To play that.
The time that I fell asleep in Star Trek Insurrection. And I woke up for the part where the Logitech joystick comes out for Riker to control the Enterprise, which was a bit.
They did use a very cheap 16-bit joystick as a prop in that film, didn't they?
Yes.
And then you woke up and started laughing at it.
Because apparently, in the future...
He's Jonathan Frakes, he can do what he likes.
He can,
as far as
that's true. He is.
And he does, unfortunately.
The new Tom Selleck. Love him.
He is, yeah, he is, isn't he, this generation. So he hosts that...
The Next Generation Tom Selleck, you could say.
Next Generation Tom Selleck. That's genius, Alex. Yeah, he hosts that program about the paranormal. Have you ever seen that?
Does he? No, I should watch that.
Yeah, he's like a big bowl of jelly in it. He's huge in it. He's
really?
Like a bear.
Because he likes to want to wait for the movies. Does he put it all back on?
Yeah, I think he kind of balances his chicken and pie eating in kind of seasons. So he does the paranormal one when he's maximum girth. And then he hibernates.
His doctor must be praying in Canada for another Star Trek movie to get him his like blood pressure back down. Then is that?
Yeah, that's true. And I don't think it's going to happen unless he's going to come back as maybe just a ship, like just wrap tinfoil around him and throw him against a dark background or something.
If I want to be really geeky, you could wait till he reaches critical mass and then put him in the next Akira live action movie and make him. Kaneda, no, Tetsuo, when he's expanding at the end of the movie. That could be good.
Yes, it does look like that, yeah, but it's all kept in at the moment. It's just all beard and skin is keeping it in.
Is he still wearing the skin-tight Star Trek uniform when he's doing that?
He chooses to wear quite... I mean, when you're that big, everything's tight, so...
Does he wear a mumu?
Yeah, he looks like a bear sort of, that's been caught in a trap of clothes.
Okay.
But that's Frakesy, though. I love Frakesy.
Yes, we do like him. We joke because we love him.
Yeah, love you, Frakes. Frakes is coming on next week.
Really?
Well, yeah, I forgot to say we're having an interview with Jonathan Frakes next week on Doofusters. Do come for that. Mm-hmm. I promise that will happen. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so you've been playing Metal Gear Solid?
No. I played an hour of Metal Gear Solid, and then I decided I I had to turn it off because I was going to bed, and then I haven't felt like I've had enough time to go in to play it since. Like, I've only had, like, 2-hour stretches free. I feel like I need a bit longer to commit to get into it. So, I've just been playing Warhawk over and over again on the PlayStation 3.
Okay, I don't know anything about Warhawk. Could you fill me in?
Well, it's a multiplayer game, which is weird, because I never play multiplayer games. So,
are you playing with strangers on the internet?
I am.
We don't talk at all,
which is interesting.
It's sexier that way. Do you like that?
It is kind of sexier that way. It's kind of interesting because I don't have a headset, and most people don't have a headset on the PlayStation Network. The few people who do kind of come blaring out over the speakers, yelling at people, which is kind of fun.
Yo, fuck you, dude! Do you want to play ping pong multiplayer, doodar on my N64? Is it all that kind of thing? Is it like a full-on yank?
Yes, it is Yanks, if that's what you're going for. I was going to say, no, they're generally talking about the game, not their N64.
Okay.
It's really good. The best communication I can do is honking my horn at somebody when I want them to use my gun turret. If that's not a euphemism. It's real.
Type one hand.
And it's just not something I've ever really done before, multiplayer gaming, and I'm enjoying it a lot, surprisingly so, actually, because I think because it's all team-based, I'm warming to it a bit more. I have a feeling if I jumped into, like, Halo, or one of the most primarily deathmatch games, I would be a bit more turned off, but I always feel like I'm making progress. It's well kind of tiered, so I've put myself in the lower tier for the moment, but soon I'm going to be kicked out, because I've been playing so much I'm levelling up. And I'm loving it.
Oh, you're doing better than I am, I think. Part of the problem. iPhone games and casual DS games, I've been playing them.
Casual DS games. Now, last we spoke, your idea of a casual DS game was N+, which is about as hard as...
Yes, that's what I've been playing.
That's not...
Yep.
This isn't casual.
I've been playing it casually. Been playing it in sort of 3-minute bursts. Oh. It's okay. I had really high hopes for it. Have you played it, Alex, N+?
I played the demo on Xbox Live.
The ninja platform, proper skidding, jumping. It's a little bit like Strider, but with all of the baddies removed.
Kind of physics-based.
Yeah, it was originally a Flash game. Yeah, you're a little ninja triangles. You have to collect coins. I really hate collecting coins in games. Any kind of coin collecting irritates me massively. Rings, yeah, I don't like rings. Any collecting of things or pushing blocks, that kind of behaviour, okay. No. And I have to say, I was a bit disappointed. Oh. It wasn't what I thought it would be. Well, it was exactly what I thought it would be, but it wasn't very good.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like it. It's okay, but there is the kind of puzzle, the level design isn't as elaborate as I thought it would be. And the whole collecting coins thing is kind of pointless. Like, there isn't a direct need to do it in every level. You can just go to the exit. And so it doesn't have enough structure for me, I don't think. I know that makes me sound like an ADHD child, but there you go.
Okay.
So you played it, but you didn't buy it. Did you? Do you have an opinion about it?
I enjoyed it. I just... Basically, because I was trying it on Xbox Live, and this is what it comes down to. It's not a game... I would rather play it on the DS or the PSP. And I just don't really want to front, 5,000 yen for a game. It's perverse. Because I don't want to pay the 4,000 yen it would cost me to buy it for my DS. But I don't want to pay the 1,000 yen to have it on a home system, because I won't play it on a home system.
No, it's definitely a portable system game, definitely. Yeah, but I'm going to persevere with it, because I really love the look of it, and I want to like it. I still want to like it, but I must admit that I'm not sold yet.
Would you be more sold if it had been the price of the Xbox title? So if it had been...
That's an interesting question. I paid around £12 for it off eBay, so it's not far off.
Yeah, okay, that's a bit better.
Yeah. It was an imported American one. And there's a level editor which I haven't played with yet. I'm going to persevere with it. I'll get back to you next week. But I've also been playing...
Yes.
I'm part of the problem. Casual gaming on the iPhone.
Ooh.
I've been playing Field Runners on the iPhone, which is a tower defense game. And it's the one that everyone says is the one, the iPhone game that you should play. It's the best one.
Is it?
And by gum, they're right.
Ooh.
It's very good. Okay. Yeah. It's definitely my favourite game of the year so far. I know it's the start of February and I don't play games, so it's not really saying much, and it came out last year.
Okay, all this is bad, but yes, carry on.
All this is unprofessional. But it's fantastic. It's very, very good. It's it gave me a nostalgic, and I was talking about this last podcast, Lemmings-type feel. It's Lemmings in reverse. You have to kill them all with various goo guns, Gatling guns, missile launchers, placing them in a sort of maze-like structure as they kind of, all these little people burst on through on their bikes, and you tear them down with so much gunfire. Oh, it's really good.
Sounds
I like it.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, it's really good. It's perfect for the iPhone. And maybe that's why I was so excited by it, because it's a slightly passive game in a way, because you place your pieces and then see everything unfold. And it's not like all of these shoot 'em ups where you're putting your finger over your character and you're like, oh god, where is he? And you know, pointing at things to shoot.
Does it use the motion sensor, or are you thankfully devoid?
No accelerometer stuff, which I'm very pleased about, because just elbowing people on the bus tube or my girlfriend on the sofa with my elbows is completely ruled out.
Elbowing her with your elbows?
Elbowing her with my elbows, not kneeing her with my elbows, okay. Or bumming her with my elbows. Just elbowing.
They won't be bumming with your elbows.
I played more games. Shall I keep going?
Yes, God.
Silent Hill. I bought Silent Hill on the iPhone.
How is that?
It's not bad. It's not great. It's pretty
not
limited.
Bad in a kind of, I've got it in my pocket on a phone for £3, or is it
exactly
really not?
If
bad?
That's precisely what it is. Yes, I paid £3 for it, £2.99, and it's in my pocket, and I played it 3 times, and I didn't enjoy it hugely, but it was impressive.
But it was
very limited,
and it was in my pocket.
Yeah. It's kind of like a really boiled down Wolfenstein. I mean, there's no open spaces; you just go through corridors.
Is it
and it's
rails?
Just all about yeah, it's on rails.
Oh, so it's like Time Crisis and Wolfenstein.
No, sorry, it's on rails in so much as that you can move down corridors, but you can't move left or right. You can walk centrally down the corridors, and you can choose when to do so, and you can turn back on yourself. But
so it's like,
there's very limited freedom.
It's Killer 7, but you don't know what that is. So
I don't know what that is. It's like being on a roller coaster.
It's like Killer 7 by the sound of it.
Yeah, or a ghost train. And it's just got, you know, there's wheelchairs, there's people with no faces. There's a good mechanic, you have to reload your gun. So if you do play it late, because it is quite scary, the atmosphere is good, and you've got a wobbly hand because you're all frightened and you wet yourself, you have to reload the gun by actually placing the bullets into the gun.
That's kind
so,
of...
So it actually distracts you, and you have to go through the action of putting the bullets in, which
do
is really...
you have to reload tough. It all, or can you just reload one or two?
You reload it all at once.
So you can't.
So you have to line up this circle with the barrel of the gun and drop in the bullets.
Okay.
Well, you could do lots of other games like that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting... Does it ever get scary at that size? I find games not so scary when they're tiny in the palm of my hand.
I played it sort of with the lights off on my own... with it right next to my face.
Did you wet yourself?
It was okay. It was pretty... Was it? Yes, but it happens constantly. I'm doing it right now.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can't leave the house.
This is why we do this over Skype, not because we're in different...
Exactly, countries. The stink of it. But I'd like to see a Operation-style game on the iPhone.
Have
I think that would be good.
That?
No, they haven't done that. And it's a popular thing. There's one on the DS, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... Trauma Center. Trauma Center. There we go.
There's Trauma Center. That would be brilliant on the iPhone. Mm. So I was pleased to see a few games that didn't use the accelerometer quite so terribly, as in basically have to imagine that you're in some sort of afterburner cabinet on your sofa and throw yourself around for little reward. So that's what I've been playing. So I've been good, Alex. I thought I'd play some games so I could talk about
good.
It.
I do actually have one other to talk about. It's Chrono Trigger. I've been playing that a bit on the train.
Oh, fantastic.
And I've got through the kind of linear section of the game. That's not spoiling anything. Not that I think you can spoil a game that's been out for over 10 years. But there you go. Don't want to ruin it for anybody who never played it before like myself.
Spoiler alert.
No spoiler alert, because there isn't that much to spoil.
Okay.
I was really enjoying the linear part. And once it becomes non-linear, it feels a bit like a grind. Just a little bit. I'm enjoying it still, but it's just like, do this quest for me. When you've done that, go to this other person and do this quest for them in this special area we opened up after you got this far. And while I'm still really enjoying it, that's feeling a little bit artificial. The whole thing feels a bit artificial, but this especially is feeling a little forced. But it's still fantastic. I'm loving it. It's certainly one of the best... 16-bit RPGs, and probably one of the best kind of Japanese RPGs I've played in quite some time. Since Secret of Mana, which was even that was an action RPG, so I suppose it might actually be my favourite Japanese-style RPG, with the kind of menus and stats system that they have.
I really think this game is obviously fantastic, but I know I'm not going to buy it because I don't have the time to play it. I managed to play about 20% of Zelda on the DS before just tossing it out the window, just knowing that I'm never going to have the time.
Yeah, that would
just do more long haul flights, I think.
I'm up to like 30 hours now, I think, on it.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm not ploughing my way through it. I know that it's the only game I'm going to have in my DS for a while, so I'm just going to keep plugging away at it. But yeah,
if you call this spend time, man, what are you doing?
I'm on trains.
I
travel an hour to work some days, and when I'm on a train there and on a train back, I clock up 2 hours in a day. Okay,
so that's what we've been playing.
That is what we've been playing. So let's do news.
Broadcasting on Skype.
Okay, everybody, down to 5.
Come on, people,
the state of the Japanese gaming scene.
Virtual console.
PlayStation 3.
The Nintendo DS.
Well, how the Xbox perform?
Nintendo Wii.
Buttocks.
Mom, I'm scared.
Do this. News.
Lots. What's going on, Alex, in the big world of video game and all that tap?
Well, more people have lost their jobs.
More people? Where? More porgs?
Well, I'm trying to remember now. EA laid off some more people? No, THQ. Yeah. Sorry, THQ is laying off I don't think I was lying. I think EA also are laying off another set of people, which is just...
EA?
Absolutely crazy.
Have they fired all the xenomorphs from Dead Space? Are they now looking...
Necromorphs?
Looking for other work. Oh, necromorphs, of course. They had to change the name, sorry. Are they looking for other work in sort of typing pools?
I think actually those are some of the people who stayed on. That studio's done, the Dead Space thing did pretty well for itself.
Yeah?
People kind of...
Have they fired John Madden?
No, they won't be firing John Madden. In fact, they'll probably be...
It just works in McDonald's. No,
they will hire his corpse, I am sure of it. He ain't getting out of that contract, I promise you. So gaming is not recession-proof. People are left and right losing work, which is a horrible thing for all concerned, for the gamers and obviously the people being laid off. But it's really just a symptom of the economy. It's nothing to do with...
That's not going to help them as they're looking for scraps,
eating
little bits of burger left on the floor.
It's not like anybody's got money to...
You from your ivory tower laughing at them, Alex. Well, that's pretty shit. So they keep laying off. And is THQ the first of their layoffs?
I think so, yes. Basically, I think it's in response to the losses they made... $192 million loss last year, in its third quarter. So it's really in response to that. And they had a couple of, well, I would say good games, popular games, Saints Row 2 and SmackDown vs. Raw for this year. So WWE.
Saints Row is the no-holds-barred version of GTA, isn't it?
Yeah, the kind of without hit you with a custard pie version of GTA.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Firing shit at buildings to lower the...
I've heard you can do that in it, yes.
and skydiving naked.
Really?
That sounds fun.
I think I prefer that to DJ.
Yeah, it does sound good, actually. With all that in mind, they're not doing too well. And even Nintendo in Japan is saying they haven't done as well as they'd hoped. They've lowered their... expectations for the following year. They've lowered it as far as they can, 12% on the, what is it, the Nikkei? The Nikkei Index?
Okay.
They've lowered their expectations for the coming year on that, which is...
Okay. Hey, they've got Mario Power Tennis coming out soon on the Wii.
Well, that was on the GameCube before. Depends on if you want Wii controls or not.
I do.
You want Wii controls, okay.
Excited about that.
Like you were saying, part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem. I am part of the problem, sorry.
But you know what? I'm not convinced it's part of the problem. If it gets companies money and they continue to produce quality games, then more power to them. Granted, Nintendo perhaps aren't producing as many as they could when it comes to quality games. Certainly somebody by now should have picked up Nintendonkeys. That seems like it should be the natural progression, but
it's great games, check it out.
Yeah, as long as casual games continue to support innovation in some way or form, then I'm all for them. I don't think it denigrates from the hardcore gamer to have these incredibly popular, cheap to produce games that make companies money, as long as those companies still produce quality games. Well, not quality, the kind of hardcore, larger, expansive experience games for people.
Do you know what? I don't like the I think the phrase hardcore, and I know you kind of use that just to describe
something you'll understand. It's an accepted, understood term.
Isn't it? I think it's what's the word? I think it's obstructive to getting to what we want. I think it is actually the wrong word to be using. I think it's quite uninviting. A word.
I think what's intended, because it refers to two groups. I was going to say what it refers to in most part is the high-end consumers, the people who buy the most. But I think that doesn't necessarily apply, because I think there's a lot of hardcore gamers who play single online games a lot. I mean multiplayer online game, a single multiplayer online game a lot. So somebody who plays Halo.
How many people are playing this game?
I mean, there are many people playing it online. I'm confused. Yes, so many different words.
Do you want to lie down? Hold on. There you go. Oh. Have a little bit of water. There you go.
Sorry. I mean, people who play a multiplayer online game a lot, to the point that
one person playing a multiplayer game.
I hope somebody knows what we mean.
One man playing with other people, but just those people. Is that what you mean?
Just that game. So, for example, in Call of Duty 4 has been incredibly popular multiplayer. There are people who are still playing that and not purchasing new games because they just want to continue playing the multiplayer experience online. Some people, perhaps not that many. But they would definitely be considered hardcore because they are incredibly skilled at that particular game.
The reason I think that it is... I've got a problem with it because it assumes that it's an exclusive club. And I think that might be intentional on the part of some gamers who use this term, but I don't think it's helpful in terms of recognizing that there is a grey area between casual and so-called hardcore gaming. Mm. Referring to a more traditional, immersive, long-lasting, complex game structure, as opposed to something immediate with a sort of average playing time of 10 minutes to half an hour.
I disagree. I think some of those games are actually more hardcore. I mean, I think my mum playing like some silly puzzle game online for all of her free time is actually probably more hardcore than me, because I'm like this perverse tourist who flits from game to game with no real commitment.
Exactly. I just think it sounds like a term used by a group of consumers who feel threatened by the games industry becoming a wider market and becoming as big as it has done. And I think it's an unhelpful phrase to use.
A really good article about this on sword fighting. If you Google the taxonomy of gaming, I can't remember who wrote it, but there's a fantastic article on there. I think it was put up last year. And it basically proposes that hardcore and kind of casual don't exist. And there's three kind of subgroups that people cross between, and it depends how heavily you lean into each category defines who you are as a
Yeah, definitely.
And I think
take something like Mario Kart. I think it's designed to be all of those types of games as well, because you can't just pick it up and play it. You can play a Grand Prix in about 10-15 minutes, or you can just sit down and unlock everything. You can have that immersive experience, or you can have the casual multiplayer or the so-called hardcore multiplayer experience. And I just think it's obstructive to progression to use the term hardcore in the way that people are using it. So that's my 10 cents.
The one phrase in that article that I just mentioned, he suggests a kind of gaming tourist, which is what I wholly consider myself to be, in that I want to experience all of the world. And although I have an element of the completist about me, because I do want to finish the game, I don't feel the need to see everything within the game.
Well, there's sort of reasonable limitations of your life in your spare time that are the factor there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's, yeah, and but it also means that the tourist element of me comes before the completist, because I could buy lots of games and play them all for 20 minutes and then not bother completing them, but
have a little cry.
Because I have the completist element of me, I do want to finish them, so I it limits my purchasing a little bit, which I'm thankful for in many ways, because I couldn't afford to keep up with it all. But it's an interesting article, well worth a read. It's pretty short, actually. Broke over a couple of articles. And, yeah. Taxonomy of Gaming. Have a look for it.
Can I check it out?
Yeah. Other news. Had it a second ago in my head. It's shot straight out from under me. Damn, that getting cut off broke my flow. This is the problem here.
I can cut this out as well, if you like.
Yeah, okay. Free Radical recently was declared closed down, gone.
What did they make?
They made Time Splitters 1, 2, and 3. They were originally some of the team responsible for GoldenEye on the N64.
Oh, right, okay.
They broke from Rare, made Free Radical, and they also did Haze, which was less than successful. PlayStation 3 exclusive title, which is perhaps...
Yeah, there was a lot of hope for that, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was kind of floundering. Apparently it wasn't seen as particularly good. Although in Japan it got some pretty good reviews.
Wow, you're really informed this week.
A little bit.
You've got like a briefcase of just facts and...
What?
You're shitting stats.
Coming 2009, the hottest game on your DS. Nintendo Donald Sutherland.
Cultivate a lovely white beard. Wear a suit. Do a film. Be a man.
There is another bit of news, actually, in some
comics. Really?
Yeah, well, it's kind of news. The Resident Evil 5 demo finally got released in America and Europe, which has been out here for a while, and I even played it way back at TGS, so I was fully aware before it hit, but reception seems to be decidedly, well, mixed, but on the whole lukewarm, because of the rather antiquated control system that's carried on from, well, kind of carried through from the original Resident Evils.
I've heard that this is, like, too much on rails. You're basically... limited in the way that you can move your target, is that right?
On rails isn't quite right. It's more like a tank. So if you imagine how a tank moves, it doesn't kind of like run and gun. It drives and it stops, it fires, and then it turns and then goes straight again. It doesn't really do curving turns so much.
I see. Have you had a little fiddle with this ding-dong?
I played several incarnations of it, actually, because when you went at TGS, they started you off with the place... the Resident Evil 4 controls, which was very much you control everything with the one stick, running forward, turning left, right, you can look up and down with the other, and then you stop to fire, very like Resident Evil 4. Now Resident Evil 5, it also had at TGS the kind of more updated Western controls, so with that you move using the left stick and look using the right stick, more like a traditional Western shooter, but you still have to hold a button to draw your gun and fire, so it's still very stationary when it comes to the combat. And people are complaining that they haven't basically progressed as much as many Western survival horror games like Dead Space, which allow you to do both run and gun and aim more precisely if you need to.
Yes. Well, a lot of people have a nostalgic feel for the control system because it is very much Resident Evil.
Yes.
And do you think that's a distinct decision to keep it, or do you think that it is, in fact, it is slightly antiquated now?
Well, they say it's a distinct decision to keep it. I don't know how much of it is then rooted in tradition, really. They don't.
Yes.
Or how much of it is just... I couldn't be bothered. I suppose I can't see any technical limitations on it.
Same old shit. Give them the same old shit.
I'm happy for them to do it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the story. I must admit, the game, now that they've expanded it, now that they've got the kind of this generation's hardware. They've expanded these rather large areas. They can put more infected coming at you. I would say zombies, but I'm sure somebody would be informing me that they're not.
Yeah, we'll get letters, Alex.
Yeah. It just feels a lot more hectic. So it feels like they've gone half... I would rather they'd kept your ammo limited. They'd kept that co-op bullshit out of there. they'd kept less zombies but made it more tense. It does... The complaints are coming from the fact that they're moving more towards a shooter game but keeping the survival horror gameplay. See?
Have you heard that there is to be a new genre, and you probably know of quite a lot of these games that sort of coincide with each other in terms of style this year, which is the survival disaster game? I hear there's an earthquake survival game coming out, certainly in Japan soon. I don't know if you've heard
of it. I bought a game called Disaster Day of something. Can't remember.
Snow?
But it didn't play with my reloader, so I couldn't play it, unfortunately.
Oh,
but yes, is
this what I'm talking about?
It's not a very new genre. In fact, it was originally, there was a PlayStation 2 game way back. Must have been, let's think, when was I working at? 5-6 years ago? That was surviving an earthquake and getting around. And it was, in some ways, very like Dead Rising on the 360, in that if you weren't in the right place at the right time, you missed story elements, and you could still complete the game, you could still get through it, survive, but you didn't know why things were happening as much. And it interests me. Yeah, I think it would be a good style of game, similar to...
Yeah, sounds really good. And you've got like a floppy, kind of panicky doll girlfriend that you have to keep safe from like falling rubble and burning struts.
You have an inflatable sex toy for a girlfriend that you're dragging around with you.
Yeah, well, essentially, yeah, she's useless. She's got a big shocked mouth.
Oh.
Which would double as that, I suppose. And yeah, you've got to save her from all of the terror, the Bruce Willis-style terror that unfolds. It sounds good.
I could do that, the girlfriend, in the game. Clarify.
Well, she's like the panicky Christian in the Poseidon Adventure type woman. You know, inevitably in disaster movies, there's a irritating one person that, you know, you'd really like to see die. So when, you know, 3/4 of the way in, loads of rubble falls on them, you're actually quite pleased.
Do you lose if she dies, or can you just let her bite it really early in the
game? Maybe the point is to just get her killed.
Kill her in the most amusing ways. There's a new genre.
Might be a good genre, just the perfect murder genre.
Not survival.
We have to just get away with killing all of your friends and family members.
Can we go into this week's topic, localization?
Localization across the nation.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with localization.
Coming this summer to Nintendo DS, Nintendonkeys. 5 real donkeys you can look after. You can stroke them with a stylus.
Let kids ride on their backs.
Look how sad they look and depressed on the beach.
Give them handfuls of oats.
Poo on the beach.
It's the ass you've been waiting for.
So, localization.
Localization. Now, this is brought up primarily from a conversation we had about the fabulous Yakuza saga. Yakuza 3 having just come out in... just about to come out on PS3.
Yes.
In Japan. And it's a fantastic game. I've got Yakuza 2, as I mentioned before, and it's brilliant. I suggest everyone to get hold of a copy. Even if you can't see or hear, you have to play this game. And there's been a stalled translation sort of history with this game and getting it across to the West.
There is no guarantee.
The version I've got is
come out. It must be said. There's no guarantee.
Yeah.
It's incredibly poorly at every other release. So, yeah.
Really surprising. And the release that I've got is subtitled, which I'm really pleased about because it just works a lot better. Because
they put a lot of effort into the first one. I don't know if you know this. The original Yakuza on PlayStation 2 came out with... They put some real money into getting some fairly big names, including Mr. Blonde, whose name escapes me, as one of the characters. What was his name?
From Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, Mr. Blonde.
Mr. Blonde? Do you mean... Michael Madsen.
There we go. He was one of the voices, and he also was in Grand Theft Auto way back, the original Grand Theft Auto 3. But basically, they put some money into it, and it didn't sell very well. So it was kind of fan service. They said, right, well, we'll just put some subtitles in and release the Japanese one, which is probably better when you look at some of the people they had acting there. Some pretty quality voice talent and some pretty good actors in the Japanese set. So that's where they went with that. And now there's kind of a slight worry among people who really enjoyed the earlier games that maybe they just won't bother because these kind of niche games aren't doing too well, and PlayStation 3 hasn't got the install base of the PlayStation 2 either.
It's depressing though. It's such a good game. It's so good. I mean, to think that it's limited.
I think they might be missing... The people who bought the PlayStation 3 are probably the hardcore people who bought the original Yakuza, I would guess.
Yes, but, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're right.
But it might not be a gamble they're prepared to take. So, yeah.
I suppose in a really dirty way, I'm quite enjoying the fact that it's quite an exclusive secret.
Mm. Yeah.
That it is this secret, brilliant game that's, very, very Japanese. Very, very good.
I've got the Weekly Famitsu here from last week, and they had a big article on the release details of Yakuza 3, and they had a huge cast list, and there's a couple of people of note. Primarily, I suppose, well, there's some returning cast. There's a voice actor called Takaya Kuruda, who did the voice of the original lead, and Tetsuya Owatari, who's kind of a Roger Moore style character out in Japan, and they're both returning cast. But there's actually two pretty big names, I suppose. Well, one pretty big name worldwide, and another kind of novelty item in there. The first one is Tetsuya Fujiwara, who is maybe you would recognise if you saw him, actually, because he was Yamagumi Light in the Death Note movies when they were filmed. But perhaps more popularly, famously, I suppose... he was in Battle Royale as the lead character in both of those movies. So, pretty big name. I think this is his first Yakuza game. So that's pretty good to see that they're getting some talent like that, worldwide renowned. There's also a girl in it, called Ayana Tsubaki. Now, she's become popular in Japan recently, and I don't know how it will carry over. It'll be interesting to see how the Westerners take to her. I mean... certainly in Japan, the first thing anybody says about her is, oh, kawaii! Which means, oh, she's cute and precious and lovely. But I'm not sure the reception will be as generous in the West. I hope it is. I hope that people are enlightened enough about it. But she was a man. She had a sex change. And is in the game providing the role of a masseuse. And her character model is very like him. I hope that she doesn't get into any kind of flame wars.
When the tranny. Market.
She's not a tranny. She is...
Trancusa.
See, stuff like this isn't going to help her any, Darren.
I realise I'm not being very tolerant, but it is very funny.
It basically very... I don't know if it's accepted out here, especially. I mean, Mickey, my girlfriend, basically still says that there aren't many gay people in Japan, but everything on TV seems to... stressed to the contrary, and
I know that as well. There aren't.
There's a big kind of. There's a very fine line between male and female some males and females in terms of appearance, and crossing the line doesn't seem to be as looked down on as it might be in the West, or vice versa.
Is there a Japanese word for transvestism?
I don't know. I don't think so. All I hear is ladyboy. She's a ladyboy. When people tell me about it. But I think that.
Well, as you're walking as you're walking around town. Oh,
yeah. These video games make two white guys talking on Skype. The recipe below. Oh, God. Oh. I've fallen down. Oh.
I've got something I'd like you to watch.
Okay.
In terms of localisations. Yes, this is the new Glade advert. And It's called Poo at Paul's. It's the most absurdly strange translated European advert about an air freshener.
Oh my God.
And this is what translation is all about.
Mom, I want to do a poo.
Come on then.
But I want to do a poo in Paul's bathroom.
Don't be silly, come on.
I'm going to do a poo at Paul's.
Paul's bathroom has Glade Touch and Fresh. More discreet than an aerosol, it's no more bad smells, just a pleasant fragrance. Touch and Fresh from Glade.
Yeah. This is a different element of localization to what I was talking about, actually. But yes, it does kind of show that effort does need to be put in if it's going to work.
Yeah, and not just disgust people in their own homes. What are they implying? I don't understand. That at Paul's house, they've got an air freshener, so it masks the smell of this child's awful turds.
So yeah, localization is important, is what it comes down to. You do have to do it well. I mean, and there are some very good translations. I mean, certainly what Chrono Trigger that I'm playing now, they edited some character names to make them fit the West better, and it's okay. It was three characters that are named after food items, and mayo, ketchup and something else. I can't remember the third one, but they changed them all to rock stars because food humour is very popular out here. It's not so much in the West. There are three. They localised it really well with changing kind of fitting meaning, intended meaning, as opposed to literal translation. So recently the internet's been in a little bit of uproar because Final Fantasy, well, one, Yakuza 3 might not come out, and two, Final Fantasy 10 is going to be delayed in the West, having been it will be released in Japan this year. Final Fantasy 13 this is, sorry, not 10. Final Fantasy 13 will be released in Japan this year, but will probably be 2010 before it comes out in the States, and probably even later in Europe traditionally. And people are some people are blaming the port over to 360 in the West slow down the release. But personally, I'm starting to feel that people should stop complaining.
Shut up, the West.
Because I'm out here in Japan, and frankly, the West is not doing such a shit hot job bringing their games over here. And
yeah, that's true. Are you desperate to play Rock Band?
Rock Band's still not out here.
Yeah, you're not missing much, but
fair enough.
You don't have the option. You don't have the option.
Yeah, actually, but the latest Guitar Hero isn't out here yet either, which actually has the full drum, not the full drum kit, the full instrument set to be more like Rock Band. So in many ways, you're actually correct.
So Rock Band is by EA.
Yes. Yay,
Could you do some crossovers then? So you could do Dead Space, Rock Band. You're wandering around the spaceship looking for the monsters to kill them. But all you have on you, rather than tools, are musical instruments found around the spaceship. And when you see the monsters, you play your guitar and you rock out, and they love it, and they're rocking as well, and they're doing the sort of devil signs in the air, and then they start playing the drums, and you know, you just exhaust them.
Then they explode like in Moonwalker on the Mega Drive.
Exactly, yeah. The power of music just makes them just bubble up and burst all over
the
spaceship.
The power of music compels you. The power of music compels you.
I need a young priest and an old priest. Yes, that's exactly it. And a Mirror's Edge Rock Band.
Oh, that would be good. Running along walls playing a guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine the dexterity it would take to play that.
It could all just be.
I love that.
It could actually be just in concert. You could be running around the kind of live gig area, trying to avoid crowds by running over their heads. That'd be.
Do crowd surfing. Crowd surfing could be part of it. In, you know, you could balance on there, and you could get on top of the amp stack, and you have to balance.
But they're not making another Guitar Hero this year. Rock Band this year. Get that right. They're not making a Rock Band this year. Because
they got all the money they need.
They're making the Beatles game this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, yeah. Does that mean it can be Ringo?
Oh, now, there's something I hadn't really considered.
Do you know that Ringo Starr has refused to sign any more autographs?
Really?
As of January this year.
I think
no longer responds to letters.
Wow, because he used to respond to all of them, right? That was the big joke when he finally got
Marge. Yeah, he did. He came across very nice in that Simpsons episode, but the truth is, he's kind of a grumpy arsehole. He's decided that he's not going to sign autographs anymore. He's just bored of it. But you can be him in this game now.
And I want to be him, actually. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, you like Ringo.
I do like Ringo, yes.
His Fishbay songs.
Yes. I was a big fan of Octopus's Garden, which I hear won't be in the game.
Under no circumstances.
But yes, localization. Basically, Japan gets a pretty rough end of the stick on it. Exporting.
Well, the Western games coming your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting better, but it's not great, and some games still don't get brought out. I mean, this year's Madden was released here without any translation. There was nothing. It was just the American version brought over here with a different box art. And if Japan did the same with Final Fantasy 13, just sent a stock load of the Japanese ones over to the West, I doubt it would do very well.
Imagine that. That would be even more impenetrable than it already seems to be. But you can rest and sleep easy with the knowledge that soon you'll be able to be Ringo Starr.
Yes. It brings up one question, actually, I wanted to ask you, but I'll do it now. Yakuza 2, how... I know it's text-heavy, but if you couldn't understand anything that was going on, would it still be worth it?
No.
Okay, so I won't buy it.
No, I don't think it would.
Okay, well,
the plot bits are too good, yeah, I think so. I mean, the flying bits are brilliant, but you'd just be sat there going, Jesus Christ.
Well, until I can convince Mickey to sit there with me and play it with me and translate everything, I won't get it then.
Yeah, because the plot's actually quite good.
Cool. All right, then. Cool. Excellent.
Okay.
Darren's Old Games.
Grandfather Darren, will you tell us about games from the old days?
Sure, kids. Gather around. I'll tell you all about it.
It's time for Darren's Old Games now. They're old and so are you. You're old. You're going to die before you do. Listen to my old games then.
Okay, so it's my old games bit.
Yes.
I like this bit. And you made a request last week, which I've had the pleasure to honour to bring up. And it follows up nicely from last week's one, actually. 3D World of Hunter, which was pretty small game. I'm not sure if a lot of people are going to know about this, but definitely check out some YouTube videos and have a look at it, because the aesthetic is really interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite sparse. So Hunter was on the Atari ST and Amiga. It was published by Microprose. No, wait, sorry. Published by Activision.
Really?
All that time ago. And the program by one man called Paul Holmes.
This seems to be a kind of running theme for a lot of your old games.
Well, yeah. Well, this is it, isn't it? Games just meant one person sat in a bedroom in their pants with takeaways and then just came out with a game. That was about it.
A good life, actually. But yeah.
Not just him, but well, he had a friend or a colleague called Martin Walker who did the sound. Mm. I think Martin had other things to do when he was knocking this one out. Because this game, which is essentially a very old version of Grand Theft Auto set on an island.
Are you going to make that comparison?
Well, it is.
In the loosest possible sense.
Very loose sense, yes.
The loosest.
It's very loose. Well, it's sort of small theft.
Imagine to those people who've never seen it and can't be asked to go and look. Imagine a matchbox with like four circular discs stuck to it representing a car. I mean, we're not.
Yeah, and the man is a matchbox with matchsticks for legs and arms.
Yeah,
and
don't
he sort of
conjuring up any Grand Theft Auto images in your mind. While a camera angle may well have been a kind of forerunner to what was to come with Grand Theft Auto 3, it did not have the aesthetic of Grand Theft Auto.
No, it was it's like a checkerboard desert island. Just green,
yeah.
With the triangular trees, and for some reason, lots of vehicles dotted around for you to jump into: helicopters, boats, vans, bikes. You found one car. Yeah, there's a lot of just walking around, and it's an eerie game because it's sparse graphics,
yes,
and very sparse sound. It's just a consistent of the water, and that's it. Apart from gun shooting and motor sounds.
Was it water?
you start the game coming out of a shed for some reason on an island, and you have to either kill someone or blow something up and then go back to the shed using all the choppers and the boats around. You asked me to bring this...
Very exciting, Darren. I think...
Well, you asked me to bring this up. Now, I really liked this game. It's dated terribly. it was very fun, smooth, basic 3D on our 16-bit computers. And it looks very naive now. Did you like this game, Alex?
No. I didn't.
You didn't like it?
Come on,
the atmosphere.
Okay. You've got to look at the double other side of this. My basic life at that point was Twitch-fest platforming and shooting games. This was...
Yeah, so gliding around a big checkerboard island might not have been fun for you.
I think you should...
No, the frame rate was pretty impressive, but because the graphics were so simple.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than Frontier.
It suffered from everything the first generation 3D graphics did, and that was that unless it was something that looked boxy, like a Formula One car, it tended to not look very good.
No, the bikes looked like some pizzas and an iron bar holding them in between. But I really enjoyed it. I think it might have been the eerie vibe that came about from this sparse landscape that you just... you would glide across your feet moving completely. Sorry?
Let's not pretend this was the intention of the game.
It was limitations of the platform and of this accidental aesthetic, if you like, that I liked, that have stayed with me. I think it would make a good DS game. Obviously, it would have to be built up from scratch, but this kind of sort of bounty hunter on a very limited landscape with lots of fun vehicles to play with. It was good.
In your defense, it is something that stayed with me also. I mean, I can still very clearly remember it, far clearer than many other games.
It didn't do that well, as far as I remember. It's not a well-remembered game, but it's stuck in both our heads, hasn't it?
Did he have a gun?
You could get a gun, yes. You could have a rocket launcher, and you could drop mines.
Okay.
Although I do remember it being extremely difficult to shoot other people.
That's because you kind of projected your nipples at people, am I right?
Yeah, it just kind of, the gun came out of your, you know, the stuff came out of your centre. The projectile, just this big triangle, would fly out of your belly button at people. And you couldn't turn around, you could only walk. So if you wanted to basically shoot someone, you ended up just kind of, sort of walking into them as if trying to bum them and then just shooting them. So it was quite awkward in that sense. But yeah, I think it's just nostalgic in as much as the limitations of the hardware created this very strange world. And in a way, it's more like an art installation than it was a game. It's more of an atmosphere than it was an enjoyable game to progress through, a very memorable atmosphere.
Now you bring up an interesting point about atmosphere. Did I suffer by having it on the somewhat subpar Atari ST, whose sound was even worse than the Amiga's?
No, they were pretty much identical. It didn't even make it to the PC. They were pretty much identical. The sound was so minimal there would have been no difference there. I'd say Darren's old games. Oh, it's a thumbs up! Yay! Oh. I love that old game.
I may have to override that at some point if this ever comes up. But,
watch it. Have a look at it on YouTube. It's weird, but it's nice.
I remember it incredibly clearly, which is weird because I didn't play a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I think it's just that atmosphere, which is an underrated thing. I think it would work well on DS. Not going to happen at all, but no, yeah. Well, and it leads me to next week on Darren's Old Games.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up RoboCop 3.
3, not the original arcade one.
No, RoboCop 3.
RoboCop 2 that I had on my Atari ST.
No, not that one either. This is like, it's a 3D game. And yeah. I think it, in my memory, it's so much better than the film.
not the SNES game with the kind of top-down jetpack section.
No.
What version is this?
This is a 3D. It looked quite a lot like Hunter and Frontier. That kind of 16-bit flat, untextured polygon look. And I'll go into it next week, Alex. But Now tune in for that. But it's was so good, so a beautiful game, and yeah, in much better than the film Shock, possibly the sort of best and most pronounced difference between how good a film can be and how good a game can be. In that the film was just terrible, but the game was very good
for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you. That was my feature.
Yay. Okay. Well, I think that's bringing us pretty much to the end of the show.
It's time for the wrap up. So thank you guys for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed everything. We've, as you might notice, we've had to cash in a little bit on Doofus because we've got to pay the bill. So we've got a few adverts running through.
Yeah.
Let us know if you don't, you know, if you don't like them, we'll get rid of them. But
we can't do much about getting rid of the bill. We need the income. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're sorry we've had to sell out. Yeah, because the podcast rock and roll days are over. Everyone's got adverts now, haven't they?
Yeah.
But we've done that. But yeah, apart from that, I think it was a good one. Lots of stuff for your brain.
Indeed. Goodbye, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye! New on DS, Nintendo McLean, American Pie Edition.
Drive your Chevy to the levee.
Be a long, long time ago.
Use the stylus to drive your Chevy to the levee.
Make those people dance.
DS Link Up, you can both drive your Chevys to the levee.
Be touched deep inside.
Use your stylus to borrow a coat from James Dean.